One of the most famous events in Christ's life was the very first miracle, first sign that's recorded in the Gospel of John. If you remember, don't turn there, but it's in John chapter 2, and here is Jesus that goes to a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and he's there, and his disciples are with him, and it's a big group, and for some reason, now this would be very embarrassing, they ran out of wine. They had a guy that would be the sort of the head, not the groom, not the bride, but a guy who would sort of run the thing. And he is there, and somehow they run out of wine. And Jesus' mother goes over to him and says, they've run out of wine. He actually says, what to me and to you? He basically says, what does that have to do with me or you? And she says, yeah, but they've run out of wine. And so he says, my time is not yet. But then he does something. Whatever he said to her, we don't know, but she went back and said, whatever he says, do. What's this? He says this. She said, whatever he says to you, do it. And what he did is he told them to go fill up these big water pots. They were like giant water pots, like this big, fill them up with water, and then they dipped it out. It was wine. And the guy that was ahead of the whole thing said, this is amazing. Most people put the best wine first, and then when after everybody's drank a little bit, they get the worst wine. You've saved the best wine for last. And so that was the very first of the signs, Cana of Galilee at the wedding. But what she said is, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, you know, that's probably some pretty good information. Do whatever he says. And the truth is this, we are wise. We would be wise when he says, whatever he says to do, do. And we'd be wise to obey Jesus. We'd be wise to do what he says. So what we're going to do is look at four things that he said. In fact, as John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, do what I say, you will abide in my love. And we all know that abiding in love means being in fellowship with him. And so the truth is this, if you obey God, you're in fellowship with him. If you disobey God, you're not in fellowship with him. And so this morning, we're going to see two of the commands this morning and two of the commands next Sunday. I think you'll find they're fun. The best thing that we can say is this. There are all kind of commands. There are all kind of principles. All kind of things found throughout the Bible. So I'm just picking four. And there's so many things. But we would always be wise to obey the Scripture and to obey Christ's commands. So here's the question. Why should we obey the commands of Jesus Christ? Number one, because he's God. He's God. He's the creator. He's the one that rules over all things. He made us. He made everything. Everything belongs to him. And when he says something, you might say it this way. He's sort of the boss since he created everything and he controls everything. And if he says do something, it's probably a wise thing to do what he says. Okay? That's one reason. There's a second thing. He loves us beyond what we can imagine. He does. He loves it. We can't even imagine how much he loves us. Sometimes we think God's love changes. I think one thing that helps me is to realize that it doesn't matter. His love will never change. This is the truth. If you're an unbeliever living in sin, God loves you to the maximum. If you're a believer living righteously in God, godly, God loves you to the maximum. If you're a Christian and you're not doing well and you're not obeying and you're living terrible, his love never changes. His love is not based on what you do. His love is based on his character, and he loves us unconditionally. So when he says, I want you to do something, there's a reason for that. Since he loves us beyond what we could imagine, we might realize that what he tells us to do is probably for what? It's probably for our own good, right? If he says, when you tell your child, don't get into the street, it's not because you don't want them to know what pavement looks like or, you know, that guy. You're just saying, listen, this is what's best. What's best for you is don't go get in the street because a car going to run over you, okay? When he says, don't do this or do this or don't do this, we could say, well, I don't want to. He said, listen, do you know what's best for you? The truth is we don't know what's best for us. The third reason is that obedience always brings blessing. It does. When we obey, there's always going to be blessing. Look at this right here. Obedience, when you do right, we're in fellowship, there's joy and rewards. When you disobey or disobedience, we do wrong, we're out of fellowship, there's discipline, and there's loss of rewards. So the bottom line is you can see that it is always better to obey, always better to obey. And so here's what we're going to do, because there's so many things. I wanted to put this up for you just to give you a little sort of an outline. We're going to look at four commands. One of them deals with salvation. Two of them deal with growth. One of them deals with service. The one under salvation is come unto me. The two under growth are learn from me and follow me. And the last one on service is abide in me. So those are four commands. If you can just tell the first one, come unto me. This deals with salvation. It talks about rest. The one, growth, is learn from me. He's an example to learn from. Follow me, that's discipleship. And then last but not least is service. Abide in me, and that's the fellowship and producing fruit. So those are the four we're going to look at. Come unto me, learn from me, follow me, abide in me. And so this morning, we're going to start with salvation. We're going to look at that one. And I think we can do it all time-wise. And then we'll look at the second one as well. So let's start with the salvation one. And we understand probably the most important area that you'd think about in our lives is the salvation. The truth is this. Salvation is the key, because you were dead and now you're alive, and you were on your way to the lake of fire and now you're on your way to the kingdom of God and that kind of thing. But the truth is this. The salvation is like this little dot. You know, you trust Christ, and then the whole rest of your Christian life and everything else based on your service, your rewards, it'll have an impact on the kingdom. It'll have an impact on the eternal state. And so when we think about salvation, it's a key, but, you know, sometimes we put that ahead of everything else. Jesus said the idea of what we see from Scripture is, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity with him. If you do not put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will not spend eternity with him. You'll be separated from him. Every human being is going to exist forever. Some will live forever with Jesus Christ, called eternal life. Some will die forever, separated from Christ, called the second death. And so salvation is a key. Look at Matthew 11. Look at verse 28. Here's Jesus speaking. Look what he says. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The first command is to come to me to find rest. Matthew 11, 28. He declares, come to me and he will find rest. He is offering himself as the Messiah and the Savior. In this passage, this is really a salvation passage, at least verse 28 is. We'll see the next verse is not a salvation passage, but this one is. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. The rest is the rest of salvation. Coming for the rest of us. Why? Because mankind is trying to work his way. We all know what religion is. Religion is man trying to figure out a way to get to God. That's what it is. Religion is man working to get to God. You can just take any religion in the world, whether it's Islam and you got to pray seven times a day and you got to make the trip to Mecca and you got the Hajj. You got to do all this. And if you're something else, you got to do this. And if you're something else, you got to do this. So you got to go on your knees on the thing. You know, it's just stuff after stuff. I can still remember seeing a video of somebody in India, and they had this rod that they had stuck all the way through their face like this. And that was some kind of punishment that somehow God would take notice of them and he would be pleased with them. I mean, this is what religion is. Religion is man trying to please God. And we need to rest and realize you cannot please God. We cannot please God. God is pleased in his Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the one that says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We come to him because he is the way and the truth and the life. I mean, this is the greatest message there is. There is no other Savior. There is no other way to God. It's only through Jesus Christ. We live in a world that is pluralistic. And if you walk into an office, or if you walk into almost anywhere and say, I believe that there's only one way to God, and that way is through Jesus Christ, you'll be attacked. But it's true. It is true. There is only one way. The world is stupid. The world is stupid. God says the wisdom of the world is foolishness. Listen, the world doesn't understand anything. They're dead in trespasses and sins. And when you stand up and say that Jesus is the only way, you're probably going to be made fun of or maybe even attacked. But he is the only way. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. He is the way and the truth and the salvation. That's he is. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way. He is the Savior of the world, and he died and rose again to give eternal life. Look at this, John 10:28, I give eternal life, and they shall never perish. John 3:16, whosoever believes in me will never perish, but have what? So what is the offer that God gives to us? Eternal life. Don't ever get over it. Most people don't know that. You can go to other places and ask them, what does God offer? And they'll say, forgiveness. They'll say abundant life. Well, yeah, but the offer is eternal life. And once you have eternal life, then all that other stuff fits in there. But just know that. And so God so loved the world that he gave that whoever believes, who gave his son, and whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. So look what he says, come to me. And that means to believe in him. That means to come to him as the way of salvation. I hope every one of us in this room, at some point in our life, we realized that we could not save ourselves. We were weary of trying to figure out how in the world we could save ourselves. And we found that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. And we came to him, and we believed in him as our Savior. We believed in Jesus as the one who would give us eternal life. Look what it says here. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. I want you to think about that. Weary from what? Weary from trying to earn God's salvation. You remember I told you in my life, as I believed you had to be good to go to heaven. So I tried to do, every time I did a bad, I tried to do two goods because I thought one day I'd stand before God and it'd be a big scale. And if you did a lot more good than bad, you'd get to go. Or at least more good than bad. I didn't even think a lot more good. I tried to do a lot more good. I didn't want to have it close, you know. So I said, you know, every time I do a bad, I'm going to do a couple of goods. And so that way, when I get there, you know, the goods will outweigh the bads. And guess what? You can't keep doing it. You can never be good enough. You never know when the scales are balanced your way. You never know when you're going to make it. If you say, listen, you, in order to get to God, you've got to live a certain way. You got to get baptized. You got to live for Jesus. You got to give him your life. You got to be able to do this and this and this. You will eventually wear out because you can't do it. And even Christians today, there are many Christians who are so confused, they don't even know if they're saved or not. And so he says, what? You're weary from what? Trying to earn God's salvation and heavy laden. You know what you're heavy laden with? Your view of sin. The fact that you're a sinner and that you've come short of the glory of God. Now, the truth is this. Jesus Christ has already taken all the sin. But we all sin and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And we know that. And we know that even though the penalty, in fact, most people don't know the penalty's been paid. They don't know. Most people, if you say, why do people, let me ask you a question. Why do people say people go to hell? Because they're sinners and they've sinned and they've done bad, and so they get cast into hell because they're bad people. The wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ has already what? Died to pay for the sins of mankind. Jesus said, he that believes not is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It has nothing to do with sin. But we come to him and we're heavy laden and we're weary. Weary from trying to earn salvation, heavy laden, and he says, come to me. And I will do what? I will give you rest. So many people that you know are trying so hard to earn their way to God. Earn their way to God. I'll tell this quick story. I had a seminary professor. I've told it before. So you've heard it. For a lot of you, you've heard it. And he went down to South America. And he found this little lady that was Catholic, and she had been in this ministry of helping these poor people for years and years, sometimes up to 30 years. And so he met with her, he got to talk with her, and he said, isn't it amazing to know that God will use you to be able to do this? And he says, and isn't it amazing to know that what you've done has really no bearing on your salvation because he's the Savior? And she said, no. What I've done here gains me salvation. See, there are people who are confused, heavy laden, weary, trying to earn salvation. The rest of salvation is not trying to save ourselves because Jesus is the Savior. That's why it's by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of what? Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so this first one in Titus, what he says in Titus, not by works of righteousness what we've done, Romans 4:5, but to whom it does not work, but believes. And so the very first command is to come. Come to Jesus Christ. And as I said earlier, I hope every one of you in this room, and I know almost every face, so I know almost every person, but if you have never understood that it's faith alone in Christ, that he is the Savior, that he offers you to come to him to get the rest of salvation, that you can have eternal life as a gift, not based on what you do, not being weary, trying the best you can to get to him, I hope and pray that right where you're sitting, if you've never trusted Christ, you can trust him right now. But I would figure most of us in this room have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. So the first command there is to come to Christ for salvation. That's what he says. And so we can go out this door. And I use John 3:16. That's, if I'm talking to somebody about salvation, I always say, here's the great verse. And I tell the story of how God so loved the world. That's everybody, that he gave his son to die and rise again, that whosoever, that's anyone, will believe. And I'd use that. But you could even use a verse like this and says, Jesus Christ wants you to come to him. Because you're weary and you're heavy laden, he'll give you the rest. The rest is eternal life, salvation forever to be with him. Okay, there's a second one, and this comes under growth. There's two under growth, but this one we're going to look at, this one, is learn from me. And that's going to surprise you, because sometimes when you hear learn from me, you're saying, oh, okay, know the Bible and pass it on. That's not what he's talking about here. Because the next one, follow me, is the discipleship one, where you know the Bible. But this one is a little bit different. This is learn from me. Look at verse 29. It's the very next verse in the passage. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle. Now watch this word. Humble in heart, you will find rest for your souls. So he says, learn from me. And this whole idea of his example, he says, take my yoke. If you know that a yoke is something you put around, you get two animals and you put them yoke and they come together. He's saying, I got a yoke around me. I want you to yoke up with me and then us go together. And let's do what we're doing together. And he says, I want you to learn from me. Learn from me. He is the example. And we learn from Christ. He is the greatest teacher ever. He's our example. And you know what it goes back to? Notice what it says carefully. For I am gentle and humble. He wants us to learn the humility aspect. Let me tell you something. Before you can be used by God, before God will take you and use you, you have to be humbled. He humble yourself, he raises you up. You raise yourself up, he humbles you. Listen, when you have to say, God, I want you to use me, but I realize that the only way you can use me is you use your power through me. You've given me gifts, talents, and abilities, but it's not me. It's not my strengths. It's not my abilities. It's you through me. When you humble yourself and say, Lord, you are the key. You are the one that will take my life. You are the one that will use me. Look what he says. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, because I'm going to give you the example, he says. For I am, here's the example, I'm gentle and humble in heart. And that's where you find the rest. And so what I think is, there's two things that I want us to learn from him as the example. And that the first is that we are servanthood. So it should be one word, servanthood. That we're servants. As John 13:15, Jesus washed their feet. Remember what he did? The most amazing thing, I'm looking at the time, the most amazing thing happened is they get that upper room that night before Jesus before the night is over. He's going to the Garden of Gethsemane, get arrested three times. He'll be tried by the Jews three times. He'll be tried by the Romans. He'll put on the cross. And so all of this is happening. And what does he do? They all come in. They all look, and where's Jesus going to be? Remember, they didn't sit in chairs. There were little tables about that big, and they laid out like this with their arms up, and they ate like this, and they laid sideways. And then another guy was laying there, and another guy, and they laid in a circle around a table. And the best two seats would be by Jesus, one on this side of Jesus and one on this side of Jesus. Guess where Judas was? He's right there. And guess who was right here? John, the one that Jesus loved. All the rest were fighting to find the best place. And so nobody washed anybody's feet. Because normally you'd have a servant do that. But there was no servant there, because this was their Passover meal. And so they all come in, everybody scrambles to get a place. So what does Jesus do? He gets up and washes their feet. And he says, what's this all about? Listen, serve others as I have served you. That's what he says. Wash feet is an example. Follow my example of servanthood. And that's what it's all about. Listen, look at this verse right here. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. He came to die. Jesus Christ didn't come to be served. It's just amazing. And I mean, he'd walk around and all the people following him. And what is he doing? They're not serving him. He's serving them. He lines them up and says, everybody get in groups of 50 to 100. We're going to feed everybody. I mean, that's what he does. Or people line up. And what is he doing? He's touching them and he's healing them. He's teaching them. He's serving. He came not to be served, but to serve. When the Roman leaders came through, they walked through, robes, people up, getting everybody out of the way. These are the important people. Jesus never did that. Jesus didn't come to be served, he came to serve. And he wants us to understand that the whole reason we're here is to learn from him, and that is an example of servanthood. You want to be great for God? When you stand before him, do you want to hear him say what? Well done? You want to hear him say well done? You're going to have to be a servant. You're going to have to say, take my life and use me for your glory. It starts with humility. That's the example. And he says, I just want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And there's a second thing. I'm just looking at the clock, and there's a second thing, and that is he came to please the Father. And that's what we're going to see that even this morning in our passage. in Matthew. Matthew 17, we're going to see that the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." In John, Jesus said this, "I always do the things that are pleasing to the Father." Are we pleasing to our Heavenly Father? If we want to follow the example of humility and follow the example of Jesus Christ, not only do we serve others, but we do the things that are pleasing to the Father. Now, it's contrary to us. Listen, we are new creations in Christ, but we still have the flesh, and that flesh is always saying, do this for you. This is all about you. You wake up in the morning, what do I want to eat? What do I want to put on? Where do I want to go? That's how we think. We ought to wake up and say, thank you, Lord, you gave me another day. You didn't have to. And so, Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How can I touch a life today? How can I be looking to touch lives for Jesus Christ? How can I do the things that are pleasing to the Father? And so we've got the second aspect. We want to learn from him. And what does he say? Take my yoke upon you. Connect with me. That's the yoke with him. Learn from me. That's the command. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble. And I think the two key things there are the whole idea of being a servant and pleasing the Father. There's so many more. We could put 10 down there. I just threw those out for us today, so we want to do that. Let me give you some applications. And so let's come to Jesus for eternal life. That's what it is. When we look at that first one, he says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, I'll give you rest, the rest of eternal life, the rest of salvation, which is by faith. Isn't it amazing to know that every one of us in this room have eternal life, and it's not because what we did. It's not because we were good. It's not because we tried hard. It's not because we were seeking to figure out a way to somehow God would say, okay, you're okay. You made it. No, none of us are okay, and none of us make it that way. We come to him who is the one who gives us eternal life, the rest of salvation, by faith alone in Christ alone. That's why anybody can come. Because if it's based on works, some people are better than others. Some people do more than others. If it's based on that, some people, it's not going to work. But he says, no, you come to me simply by faith. The second one is this, and that is, let's learn from Jesus. And the two things, one is servanthood. He was the servant. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life. He came as an example of servanthood in that sense. And we who know Christ as Savior say, let us take our lives and use it for his glory. And the whole idea is to please the Father, pleasing the Father to obey, to do his will. And, you know, how do we do that? What, do anybody know what in the Bible says a way to please God? In fact, he says, without something, it's impossible to please God. Do you know what it is? It's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. That means live by the Bible. Do what he wants you to do. Be faithful. So we want to learn from Jesus Christ. He's the servant. We want to be a servant. We want to please the Father. How do we do that? We live by faith and serve him.